The reading is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning at verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they'd been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, without us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress am I under until it is completed? Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided. 3 against 2 and 2 against 3 they will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud riding in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
For the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. Well, good morning, and I bring greetings and love from St. John the Evangelist Fairham. We have been praying for you very much during your vacancy and are delighted that Gavin will soon be here. And we thank you for your prayers for us and all the support that we received during our vacancy, which came to an end about a year and a bit ago. A nun who worked for a home care agency in America was out making her rounds when she ran out of petrol. As luck would have it, there was a petrol station just down the road, and she walked to the garage and asked the attendant if she could borrow a can with enough fuel to start the car, drive to the pumps and fill up. The attendant regretfully told her that the only can he owned had just been lent out, but if she would care to wait, he was sure it would be back shortly. Since the nun was on her way to see a patient, she decided not to wait and walked back to the car and looked in the car for something she could use to carry petrol. She spotted a bedpan that she was taking to the patient. Perfect, she thought. She carried it to the garage, filled it with fuel, and carried it back to her car. As she was pouring the fuel from the bedpan into the tank of her car, two men walked by. One of them turned to the other and said, "Now that's what I call faith." Our two readings this morning both speak in different ways of faith, and it's faith that makes a difference. The passage from the letter to the Hebrews comes at the end of a long discourse which addresses what would have been a big problem to the Jewish believers to whom the letter was written. They had learned from the teachings of Paul and the other apostles that salvation comes from faith in Jesus. But where did that leave their ancestors and the great figures of the Hebrew Bible? Because they had never had the chance to know and believe in Jesus. So didn't that mean they'd missed the boat? And the writer of the letter says, no, not at all, and lays out a much broader and more generous understanding of faith. It's an understanding where faith is understood as confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And the evidence of faith is all around. It's manifest in all kinds of people and all kinds of deeds. The Old Testament stories are stories of faith. Stories about people who believed and trusted God and let that make a difference to their lives. And it's because of that faith that they share in the same inheritance as those of us who know and trust in Jesus. At our church during the last few months, we've been following a study course which is about faith that makes a difference. It's called The Joy of the Gospel. Here it is. And it takes its title and its subject matter from a document written by Pope Francis shortly after he became Pope. It's actually all about evangelism and the many ways in which Christians share their faith with others. For us who stand pretty squarely in the evangelical tradition of the Church of England, it felt a bit strange to be studying something that originated from the Vatican. But as the introduction to the course says, it is a genuinely exciting document. It really seems to herald a new approach which we Anglicans and we evangelicals can buy into and learn from. Pope Francis has a breadth of vision which encourages and challenges all Christians to live and share our faith in lots of different ways. The foundation of his approach is the joy referred to in the title. At its heart, the gospel of Jesus is a joyful thing. It's about freedom. It's about liberation. It offers everyone the chance to receive the love of God and make a new start. And it's by being infected by the joy, that joy, that we can share our faith in ways that connect with people and make a difference in the world. Very often, Christian evangelism seems to be based not so much on joy as on disapproval. We think of it in terms of reaching the lost and rescuing from their lostness, leading them to repentance and to a change of heart and lifestyle, which all too often means making them be just like us. But evangelism, which is founded in joy, is a much more positive thing. Of course, it is important to acknowledge the many influences and choices that cause people to turn away from God, and to challenge those things. But it is equally important to encounter people as they are, with the love and acceptance with which Jesus met them. When Jesus proclaimed that the kingdom of God was near, he urged those who heard him to repent and believe the good news. That good news was about much more than the forgiveness of sins. It was about the restoration of right relationships between humans and God, between people, between humankind and nature. It was good news to the poor, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom to the captives. So an evangelism that is founded on joy is also about those things. It's about justice and peace and the integrity of creation. And it's therefore political. It challenges the structures that keep us rich while others lack the most basic human rights, and the structures that damage God's creation on which all of us depend. The task of Christians is to care for the poor and excluded, while also asking the hard questions about why they are poor and why they are marginalised. There's a wonderful sentence from Pope Francis's document: "I prefer a church which is bruised, hurting, and dirty because it has been out on the streets, rather than a church which is unhealthy from being confined and from clinging to its own security." Those are inspiring words, but they're also challenging ones. Do you, do I, really want to be bruised and hurting and dirty? If we live out our faith in a way that makes a difference, we will lay ourselves open to all those things, and to the division and conflict which Jesus speaks of in our reading from Luke. You shouldn't expect to be able to challenge deeply held beliefs and entrenched power structures without laying yourself open to a violent backlash. Jesus knew that the course on which he had embarked would lead to his death, and he was completely open and honest about that with his disciples, both then and now. If we find that disturbing, perhaps our faith has become too comfortable. Perhaps it's become a prop for the status quo rather than the catalyst for change, a set of doctrines rather than a spur to action and a manifesto for a better world. And so perhaps we too need to hear Jesus' call to repentance. Wake up, change your outlook, do things differently. But it's a wake-up call founded on love, not condemnation. God is not a stern taskmaster who is constantly looking out for us to fail. He knows that we will fail, but that's not the point. God is your biggest fan. He's like a proud parent watching their son or daughter play for a sports team or perform in the school concert or the nativity play, or like the families of the Olympic athletes cheering them on and expressing their pride, whatever the result. God loves nothing more than when you and I respond to his call and cooperate with him in his mission of love to the world. When we care for the people we live with and work with and worship with. When we engage with the communities in which he has placed us and which he has called us to serve. When we build bridges where there is division. And when we sow seeds of justice instead of oppression, and friendship instead of enmity. And I'm pleased and relieved to say that his love for us does not depend on us getting it all right in what we believe or in what we do. God's faith in us is big enough to accommodate all our doubts and all our fears, just as his belief in us is big enough to cope with the times we mess up and do the wrong things. I may beat myself up and get all disheartened when I get things wrong, but God is still cheering me on and willing me to pick myself up and try again. And so our faith that makes a difference, is measured not in success, but in perseverance. Not in ticking boxes, but in sticking with it. Not in our doctrinal purity, but in our love. So as you and I go out from here this morning, may we do so with a bedpan full of fuel for our life in the week ahead. The love of God, which fills us to overflowing, which is enough to share the joy of the gospel with everyone. Amen.